Good evening. It's good to be here with you all. Thank you for those thoughts of turning our hearts towards God. It's good for us to meditate on Him again. The subject that's been assigned to me here this evening is practical non-resistance. And I don't know many of you very well. Les, I would say, is the only one that I know very well at all. Been friends for many years. And as I look at this subject here this evening, it kind of gets into relationships. And sometimes it's just nice to not know some people and you can speak freely. But we're all human. I'm sure we all face the same things back at our home congregation that you face here. And I trust that this evening we can see what the Word of God has for us to learn. Practical non-resistance. I would like to just look at these words a little bit from the aspect of what are we focusing on here this evening. And what do they mean? And that we would keep these thoughts in our minds as we go through this message as to really how this works out. So Webster's definitions here, practical, of concern, of or concerned with the actual doing or use of something rather than with theory or ideas. Concerned with the actual doing. As I thought about that, this tells me the committee who chose this subject believes the Bible. And it also tells me something about their concern or their desire for it to be lived out, for this doctrine to be lived out. And as I said, I don't know you all, and I don't know how all that's working out in your congregation here today. But I suspect that either it needs strengthened or it needs encouraged to keep up the practice that is there now. On non-resistance, Webster's definition is the practice or principle of not resisting authority, even when it is unjustly exercised. And I believe that the Bible also then would teach along with this that this is in any circumstance, not just when it's coming from some type of authority. In that, I mean, there's probably some relationships where there's not necessarily an authority that is between you and the other individual. And no matter what the case is, I believe the Bible would teach this. The practice of not resisting authority. We'd just like to reference the Old Testament just a little bit. We're not going to go dive into the Old Testament on this subject necessarily, but just a few verses. I do believe the Old Testament teaches non-resistance. We have examples of those who actually lived it out as well. And you could also contrast it a little bit with God's allowing of how the children of Israel conquered the land and all of that, and that's another subject in and of itself. But examples, we can think of Abraham and Lot and how Abraham dealt very justly there with his with Lot. Joseph and his forgiveness of his brothers. And there's others as well. I think of the wells that were dug, and then the people of the land came and said that was their well, and they freely gave it up and went and dug another well. So there is examples of non-resistance in the Old Testament. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Proverbs 25 verse 21 and 22 says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." So we have just a few things to consider what the proverb writer had to say about turning good for evil and not retaliating. But I would like to focus on the New Testament here this evening, and we can go to Matthew chapter 5. Read scripture here where we find this teaching, Jesus' teaching, not resisting evil, not returning evil for evil. We'll start at verse 38, Matthew chapter 5, and read to verse 48. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We have this contrast here of Jesus speaking. He says, "Ye have heard, but I say unto you." See, we have this old nature that we have to crucify. And it's so easy for us to just get back at somebody else. But Jesus says, "But I say unto you." This Adamic nature that we have, we like to not only revenge in a way of equal value, which is not acceptable, but then we try to get a little bit more. We try to make it punch a little bit harder. And Jesus says, "But I say unto you, there is a better way." Jesus says, "But I say unto you," this follows his character, and it reflects his image. And we are called to reflect the image of Christ in our life. And Jesus is teaching here, and so we need to listen up. And we need to listen what he has to say. In this passage here, as he's speaking about, he says, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil." Jesus points out things here that will offend us. And there are three specific things here, but I think they point to perhaps three categories, three categories in which we can be offended. He says here about, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. And so I put this in a category of bodily injury. There is many scenarios in which that could happen, perhaps. But we may be offended if someone hurts us physically. He goes on to say that if someone will sue thee at the law, taking my personal property, something that belongs to me, it's mine, a lawsuit that would in some way that you would have to pay. in this story that he's telling here, he's talking about a coat. And he says to go beyond that and to even give more. And so that's another way that we could be offended by other people, that in some way my property or my possessions, I have to give them up. Another way he mentioned here is, and I have taking my freedom. Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And as I understand it, the Romans could ask these Jews to carry their bag for a mile. And I don't know what the culture was in all that, in that setting there. In a culture where they probably mostly walked, and it was hard, difficulty of getting from one place to another. And if along the way some Roman authority soldier asked you to carry his bag for a distance, and that could perhaps be an insult and a difficulty for them. Taking the freedom of you to travel as you wish, and to go as you want to. The Romans perhaps were a burden in that sense. And so that's another way that we can be offended in some way, of my freedoms can be taken. I think here Jesus is calling us to, that we are to bear graciously the pain that is inflicted to us by others, whether it was intended or not, whether it was intended or accidental. And this would have the connotation here of something that is intended, when someone, Jesus says about a slap on the cheek, a degrading way. And so we are to bear graciously the pain inflicted by others. Also, our possessions are God's. And do we have, how do I say, can we hold our possessions loosely enough to allow God to give that to your enemy, and to give your enemy even more than what they deserve? We are also called to comply with authorities, to obey and respect them. In this scenario, when Jesus was speaking about going a mile, go with him twain, go another mile with him, go the extra mile. whatever that requirement is, we are to obey and respect the authorities that are placed in our lives. Thinking about our freedom of travel, we, for the most part, are free to travel here in this country. I just drove from Chambersburg to here. There's some requirements along the way. There's speed limits along the way. Another one to consider is on your vehicle, license, registration for your vehicle, and insurance. Some of those things that are required for you to travel down the road in a vehicle. Are we compliant with those things, or is it a bother to us and we'll just let that go until someone catches us? And one that we're very familiar with, not so many years ago, COVID restrictions. And how did we respond to those? Can we honor and respect the things that were asked of us? Your brethren are an authority in your life as well. Do we view it as that? Is my brother and my sister an authority in my life? Can they speak into my life? Or is it the way I want to live only? I have a sneaking suspicion that if my brother seems to be treading on my freedoms, something that I think is owed to me, or the way that I should be able to live, there's probably room for improvement there. We see here a little bit of a change then as Jesus is teaching, I think from the first set of verses we read, and then going into verse 43. I have here in my notes the change from the law of retaliation to the law of reconciliation. And it's a transition that I see of, yes, Jesus said, it's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We're not to revenge. He says to go the extra mile. But then verse 43 says, go a little farther. Go a little farther. And that's not just go the extra mile. This is in my attitude and how I view other people. My neighbor, Jesus says here, you have heard that you should love your enemy, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And so we're introduced to the word love and blessing and doing good. It's not just going the extra mile. This is really what happens in here, in my thought life and how I view that person. And yes, the things that we physically do as well. I think that this is something that we are called to go through and extend ourselves and to bless others in some way. Love, bless, and pray. Verse 48 says, be therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so the perfection of God is our goal. That's what we strive for. Now we as humans, we fail. We're not perfect. But the perfection of our Father in heaven is what we strive for. And I believe that if we humble ourselves and do these things, that we will be blessed as well. And there's a blessing not only that is given to the enemy, but then it does something for us as well in our own lives. And I believe that if we can humble ourselves enough to allow God to work through us, and that we can be a blessing to our enemies and love them, that we can then, I was going to use a word that there's a reward that comes with that, but we are to reward others when it costs us. It needs to be more than just surface level, we saying that we love our enemies, but do we actually? And we are to go the extra mile when it costs us. And this may be in our time and our money. And people may say that you're crazy. Your reputation may be, you may think you're losing a good reputation, or people will think make fun of you. But we're to go until it costs us, and are loving and blessing others. And it also needs to cost us in ways that we can't be repaid. What reward is there if we bless someone else that can bless us back? What reward is there if perhaps you are rewarded back in not necessarily even in monetary ways, but in the way people would speak of you? I think there's that danger as well, that we look for the reward more than the following the action that we're called to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. This is the New Testament verses here on that we read out of Proverbs. It says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And I don't know if I can explain all of this, but there is a law that God has set in place that when somebody rewards another person with good instead of the evil that was dealt to them, that has an effect on that person. It says here, thine enemy, someone who is against you, someone who has dealt evil to you. If you reward them with something good, God has set that law in place that it will melt that evil intent, that evil heart that they have, when you treat them with kindness. And so we're talking about non-resistance. Here it is. Your very enemy, you are to treat them kindly. Give them the necessities that they have, that they don't have, that they need. Give that to them. Give them a drink of water. Give them food. Jesus talked about blessing. And the result is in verse 21, be not overcome of evil. If we choose good instead of evil, we will not be overcome with that, and that will not be our obsession. It becomes very circular if we keep replying and reaching back with evil intent instead of good. The cycle will never end. And if you can turn that around to good for good and more good for good, that is a much better cycle than evil for evil. And I know it seems totally backwards to our human nature, but it's what we're called to do as Christians, and I believe I've seen it, and we read stories of it, that it is in a very effective way. So as we were looking there in Matthew chapter 5, there's three things there that Jesus, I believe, is showing us that we need to live out in everyday life. And it is love, and it is forgiveness, and a giving spirit. So a few things for us to consider as we looked at the passage there in Matthew and Romans 12 as well. What about that person that calls to borrow a piece of equipment? Perhaps the last time it wasn't returned for a very long time. Maybe it was damaged when it came back the last time. These are real life issues that we face. What are we called to do? Or is it ever okay that when that phone call comes for that piece of equipment again, if they could borrow it, that it's in the shop for repairs or that for some reason it's tied up and it's not available? What about the brethren that you meet with every Sunday? Is it okay to ignore them when you've been offended for some reason? Maybe you would rather just not show up at church once in a while so you don't have to bump into them. Is it okay to make a public affair out of something that needs to be resolved between the two of you? What about the neighbor, or how do you treat the neighbor who is upset about the property line? Can you speak to him in a kind spirit? Do you allow him to say where the line is and let it rest with that? There's a personal example I have here. There's a Roarton Park right beside our property. And the people that take care of that, the club members, they are very happy to have the law deal with violators that come there. Now, when I say violators, I'm talking about people like to come in the parking lot and spin their tires and tear up the parking lot. They like to come in and throw trash in the dumpster that's there reserved for people who reserve the park. Loud noise, music, loud parties, that type of thing. Out of respect for their request, I do let them know when there's shenanigans going on down there. But is it right for me to let him know every time there's a troublemaker there? At this point, I have, because they did have trouble with theft. There was some properties. They do have buildings on the property there, and there was some break-ins and some theft. Different things like that. So if I see something, I do let him know. On the other hand, I know that he's quick to make somebody pay a fine or deal with the cops because they threw trash in the dumpster when they shouldn't have. Some of those things are things we wrestle with in life. How do we treat somebody who's not necessarily always treating me bad, but someone else is maybe their property's being damaged? What about the customer that is upset once again, and you're ready to pull the phone away from your ear because It's pretty loud and pretty heated. How should we respond? Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And I believe also we're taught to do the best to remedy the situation that we can. I had to think also of, you know, sometimes we get into these situations where we're just ready to say a few things back to somebody. We're just ready to retort. Maybe get a couple jabs in at their reputation and their character. I would just like for us to step back and take a little broader view than just in the moment and take some time to think about it. And maybe it's not going to come to your mind either, because we're ready to say that quick, sharp thing right away. But if you can picture with me, if you were to take the Milky Way galaxy and put it on a picture, maybe on the front of this pulpit here, and be about that big, where are you on that picture? The Milky Way galaxy. You could probably be safe in saying that most of the stars that you can even see in the night sky would be a little circle on that picture. As you look out from the earth and see all the stars, everything that you can see from your point of view is within a little circle on that big picture. And then you would have to zoom in very, very far on that little circle to even see the earth. Till you would even start to make out land and water. And you zoom in even farther down to a little tiny dot before you can see yourself on that map. And God's out here looking at all of this. Is it worth that quick jab at your brother? It's really small and insignificant, isn't it? Instead, we're called to do good because that blesses more and that can spread and bless many more instead of hurting one, and then that overflowing as well. Think about God and who we really are. In light of eternity, is it really worth it that we have to get that quick jab in on someone else? Well, as I mentioned before, we naturally respond with the old nature. That's our default mode, I'll call it. But there is an answer to that. And that is the Holy Spirit within. The power of the Holy Spirit within helps us overcome this natural tendency to return evil again. And I think that is only when we have yielded to Him, yielded to the Holy Spirit, that then our response can be the correct way in loving and returning good instead of evil. We have to claim that power and live with Him inside, calling and giving the directives for our life. Well, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We are not to exact revenge, which is Jesus is teaching us. We are not to exact revenge. Revenge has the malicious intent to make others suffer. And as Christians, we are not to do that. Consider this also, the golden rule. Consider if your actions were reflected back to you. How would you feel if those actions that you're extending to others were just as a mirror being reflected back on you? And maybe that can help us get a picture of, are we doing the right thing or not? First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to the judge, to him that judgeth righteously. And I was going to mention it earlier, but I didn't. Jesus' example there on the cross, he freely gave himself. He gave himself even when he said, I could have called the angels to be delivered. When he was dealt with incorrectly, according to human terms. It says here that he, here in 1 Peter, says when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And he suffered, he threatened not. You and I are called to manifest these same traits that Jesus showed. We are called to manifest them as well. And the traits that are mentioned in these verses just above here, just before these verses, verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, servants be subject, thankworthy. We are called to exemplify these things and follow Christ's example. And just in closing here, trust that as we looked at these scriptures this evening, we see Jesus' teaching and what our response is supposed to be. And then consider the love that God has showed toward us. And that should be the rule for our lives. And that we are willing then to extend that same love to others around about us.